Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So the world we live in now is basically the perfect storm when it comes to arguments starting, isn't it? With so many of us working from home, you know, spending more time together, being bombarded with stressful news and demanding to be heard. It's a wonder that we haven't all killed each other. Ian Leslie is on the line now and is the author of a book called Conflicted: Why Arguments Are Tearing Us Apart and How They Can Bring Us Together. He's going to teach us the right way to argue. Isn't that right, Ian?
I hope so. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. It's great to have you on the show. You're very, very welcome. We need to talk about rows. I'm a big fan of rowing. I would say I'm an expert in rowing. But do you think they're a good thing in a relationship?
Yeah, I do. For psychologists and relationship scientists for the book,
okay,
they pointed out to me that we used to think that rows were something that should be avoided in relationships. But now people think, and this is based on studies as well as our own eyes, that actually the healthiest relationships are the ones where the couples actually feel quite relaxed about having rows together, you know, having it out. Because when you're in a row, you really learn about the other person, right? Even if it's quite unpleasant in the moment, as it can be, you learn about what they care about, what they think about, and ultimately that brings you closer together. And I thought that was a really important principle, not just for couples, but for all sorts of situations, that actually don't hold it in, don't avoid the argument, because that you're avoiding a chance to learn about each other. And when you learn a bit about each other, you actually end up closer together. So, that's why I say, you know, arguments ultimately can bring us together rather than pushing us apart.
A very, very important message. Should we row differently with, let's say, a colleague or a housemate than we do with a partner?
Yeah, I mean, we do, and we will, just naturally. But actually, the interesting thing is a lot of the principles of good argument, good disagreement, are the same across those different contexts. And so, for the book, I actually spoke to people who would do incredibly tough disagreements and tough conversations, like interrogators or hostage negotiators, or addiction therapists, the diplomats. And in all these incredibly kind of extreme situations, there's actually a huge amount to be learned for how to conduct a tough conversation or an argument with someone at work or with your child or, you know, with your partner. So actually there's lessons that you can draw across all these different situations to say, how am I going to make this disagreement go well and be interesting and make sure that we all learn something from it rather than it being horrible or something that we avoid altogether.
Let's talk about an unhealthy row then. I presume there's shouting involved in that one.
Yeah, although shouting isn't necessarily a sign of an unhealthy row. Right? It's, you can have a very healthy row and really get into it and get shouting and, you know, be quite kind of passionate and even like angry at times, and it can still be worthwhile having. When it goes, the sign that it's going wrong is that if you're being nasty to each other, right? You know, if you're being really horrible to each other, no good will come of that, right? But also, you know, if it becomes some sort of a power struggle. Right, that's how most disagreements and arguments go wrong. It just becomes a case of how can I prove that I'm the strong one here, you know, and how can I stop you from dominating me, or how can I dominate you? That's how a lot of arguments go wrong, and you see that all the time, especially on social media, by the way. So a lot of the book is like, how do I avoid making this a disagreement a power struggle? How do I stop that from happening?
So for a successful argument to happen, and for me, I'm just thinking of personal experiences, is when I can change my husband's mind about something. But that just seems or sounds like it's a bit of a power struggle. I mean, for a successful argument, what is the optimal outcome at the end?
Well, I think it's either you both learn something, right? So I think the idea you're going to completely change the other person's mind about something is a dangerous one. I wouldn't sort of get too hung up on that. And I think people do get too hung up on that. You should go into it thinking, can I just maybe just shift them one inch to the left or right here? Not politically necessarily, but can I just, like, we think of the phrase change your mind as a kind of 180 degree, but maybe change your mind can just be slightly changing the way they see it. You can also go into it thinking, you know, it doesn't have to be a row. You can go into it thinking, okay, I'm going to put a point of view, but then I'm going to listen really hard because I'm actually interested to see if I'm right about this. And maybe I'll end up changing my mind. So in a really good disagreement, you both come out smarter because you both kind of like learned something from the other. And even if you don't change 180 degrees, you still have a more kind of refined point of view than you had going into it.
Okay, that makes sense. When is it a good time to walk away from a row?
Look, ultimately, a good disagreement requires some cooperation.
Yeah. Right?
By definition, it's not something that you can manage completely by yourself. And sometimes people row in bad faith. Sometimes people are just determined to be horrible to you or to humiliate you, or they're just dishonest, right? This happens, right? And in the book, I say, you know, I'm not going to pretend you can make every disagreement a productive, you know, learning experience. Sometimes you just have to walk away. But the only thing I'd say is that actually, often conversations that seem like they're going in that direction can be salvaged. And using some of the sort of the skills that I'm talking about in the book, you can actually get someone who is being disruptive or kind of crazy or unpleasant to become a better dialogue partner. You can help them be a kind of better version of themselves. So don't kind of get too quickly to the point where you say, oh, I'm just giving up on this.
I suppose it's just looking at arguments differently, isn't it? I mean, you've done a lot of research on this book and spoke to people, as you said there, who know a thing or two about the right and wrong way to have a row. So can we go through just some of your tips on how to row properly and see the tips they gave you? Can we do that for a second? How to have a reasonable row. Number one, what would you say?
So let me give an example. Hostage negotiators, for instance, when you talk to them, you realize that actually they don't just sort of pick up the phone to the person who has the hostages or the person who's in crisis, because often they're just talking to people who are on the verge of committing suicide or something, and they have to kind of talk them around. They don't pick up the phone and say, okay, right, let's talk about how are we going to get these hostages out, how are we going to resolve this situation, and then sort of get into the negotiation. That doesn't go well because this person is feeling really emotional and insecure. So the first thing they do is they spend a few minutes just saying things like, hi, look, I can see you're handling this situation really well. And the first thing I want to say is I just want to express our appreciation of the way you've handled it so far and hope we can have a good conversation. In other words, they just calm the other person down. They make them feel respected and acknowledged. They make them feel good about themselves. And then they say, okay, so look, we both want the right outcome here for all of us. So how are we going to do that? So there's a kind of stage one, which is, okay, let's just establish a relationship of mutual respect if that's possible, and then get into the tough bit.
Okay. That is a very good point. Very good point. It says here, highlight the exit signs is another good tip.
Yeah. So you remember what I said about how disagreements often become these kind of status battles where people essentially feel that if I back down from my point of view, I'm going to look bad, right? I'm going to lose face. And first of all, you've got to try and avoid that in yourself, right? Don't get too rigid just because you're trying to be the big man or the big woman in the conversation. But there's another stage here, which is you can help that person feel that it's okay to change their mind or to come around to your point of view a little bit. You can kind of say, you can help them feel or show them a way. This is what I mean by showing them the exits. Of backing down from their position and still looking good, right? So you can actually kind of say, okay, I think you actually agree with me here and I've learned something from you.
But if you agree with me on this, then I think we have something to work with. Whatever you can do to kind of make them feel good about changing their mind, but what we do often is the opposite. We effectively say or imply that they are humiliating themselves by agreeing with us, which is completely counterproductive, because we say, well, you're an idiot to even think that.
Yeah.
And you should think what I think. And then if they agree with you, they're admitting they're an idiot. So that's not very smart, is it?
No.
We're
I can relate to this.
Back into their corner.
I can relate to this big time. You also say keeping a sense of humour is very important. That's a very tricky one to do in the middle of a blazing row.
Yeah, it is. But you know, sometimes you get stuck in these rows and you're just going over the same ground again and again. Maybe you've had this row before, or maybe in the course of this row, everyone's made the same point 3 times.
Yeah.
I think humour is particularly important when you're kind of stuck in those ruts where everybody's kind of working to a script almost. If you can introduce a joke, note of humour, maybe some self-deprecation, it actually just sort of resets the atmosphere in the conversation. I think it's an incredibly important safety valve. And you often find that, I actually think the Irish are very good at this, right? You find that the people who are really good at disagreeing and having kind of arguments without getting upset about it do it because they have a kind of a strong sense of humour. And you know, laughing at something is almost a physical reminder that we have more in common than just the thing that we're disagreeing about. So it's a very powerful thing.
It's a really interesting subject. I'm definitely looking at the way I row differently now. And I suppose the thing is, if I want to get a certain result out of it, I need to change the way I row, because it is, like you said, it is a danger zone there when it is just becomes a power struggle and you just want to completely change their mind. It's a really interesting book, Conflicted, Why Arguments Are Tearing Us Apart and How They Can Bring Us Together, is out now. Very timely. It's much needed, especially in the times we're in. Ian Leslie, thank you so much for joining me on the show, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's
anytime.
Really nice to be here.
Anytime. Thanks, Ian. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye. There you go. What do you think about that? And are you now doing what I'm doing and analysing how you argue and thinking, well, I have these new tools now. Now I'm going to be even more amazing at rowing, and now I should win every argument with my husband. I'd say Ian's really annoying to argue with as well. What do you think? 51552. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.